good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high. To the book of 1 Samuel in chapter number 17. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. You find the place you're able to stand. We'll be looking over there in chapter number 17, and we'll be reading about verse number 45. And then said David to the Philistine, talking about Goliath. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from off thee. That's pretty bold, isn't it? And he says, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And in all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass that whenever the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He wasn't running from him, he was running to him. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone. He'd already gathered up five smooth stones, if you remember. And he had them over there in verse number 40, and he had them in his bag or in his scrip, and he gathered them up. And David, while he was on the run facing this enemy, this giant, this Goliath, he runs his hand in the bag and takes thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Lord, we thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together. We pray that now that you'd move upon us and within us and speak to every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to say as we begin to preach this morning, I want to preach on loading his sling on the run toward the enemy. Here'd be a good modern day thing. Hey, listen, how about loading your gun even if you're on the run? In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, I like to be able to talk about this man and preach about old David, you know. He is a man after God's own heart. Let me tell you right now is that what we need is some young men that are like David. That are willing to sell out to God, that just believe God, believe the Bible and everything that's right in the sight of God. I mean, here's a young man. He's the youngest son of eight brothers. He's the eighth one there. You remember Saul and Israel had rejected the word of the Lord. And you can find that back over, I don't know, in chapter number 8, somewhere along in there, where Israel wanted to be just like the rest of the world. They wanted a king they could see, somebody they could converse with. And God sent Samuel to be able to find such a king. And it angered old Samuel. And the Lord said, Samuel, it's not you they've rejected, it's me they've rejected. Do exactly what they've wanted. Well, let me tell you, once they got him, they got what they wanted and lost what they had. Now the Lord's not going to be their king. Well, you remember the story how that now that finally that Saul's disobedience causes him to be able to lose the throne. And it's going to be replaced. He's going to be replaced and by one of the sons of Jesse. Samuel goes there with a horn of oil and he's looking there and all of them pass before him. But God didn't choose any of them. And he said, have you got any more sons? Jesse said, their youngest ones are keeping sheep somewhere. He said, well, bring him here. We can't sit down. We're not done until he gets here. And boy, whenever he walked in, God said, that's him. You know how you can tell God's ready for you to get ready to preach and surrender your life? Same way whenever you got saved, God punched you, you're in. Let me tell you, when God does that to you, you'll surrender your heart and surrender your life unto the Lord. You'll not be the lesser for it, you'll be the greater. In this lesson that we're looking at, you find that he anoints him. And over in chapter number 16 and about verse number 12, he brings him. He sent and he brought him, and now he was ruddy, and withal he was a beautiful countenance and godly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and he went to Ramah. Now I'm going to tell you, you know what that means? Old David's got the touch of God on him, friend. I can't tell you how many places I've been in life and how many Bible conferences I've been to, you know, and preachers that, in fact, is if you had somebody with a touch of God, then if you're not careful, the next guy they get, some doctor do stopper somewhere that's deader than a hammer and kills everything that God's already laid down. See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that David is such a man that has a touch. He has the power of God. Now, Goliath standing out there, and before I get into it, I want you to look there in this lesson there in chapter number 17 of our text. And I want you to look, if you will, please, is that in the lesson there that we've read already, he's about to face Goliath the giant. But don't lose that place. Turn over there in 2 Samuel chapter number 21. In 2 Samuel in chapter number 21. Now, I want to ask all these boys and girls that have been any of you, it doesn't matter if you're a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, or in between thereof. Do you know who it is that killed the giant? Who was it killed Goliath? David? Anybody got something different? Well, you don't have something different. Well, you turn to 2 Samuel. Huh? Well, God did, but he used a man by the name of David. They've got the right answer. And notice that, if you will, that whenever God used him over in 2 Samuel chapter number 21, look at about verse number, 18. It came to pass that after this, that there again was a battle with the Philistines at Gob, and Sibkai, whatever his name, the Hushite, and Saaph, and one of the sons of the giant. Look at him. And there was again a battle in Gob and the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jerry Origim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath. See that? In other words, he had a brother. Obviously, he had some sons born. I don't know how many, but no wonder that David picked up five smooth stones. Now, if you see that passage we just got through looking at, there was Elhanan. He was the son of Jerry Origim, the Bethlehemite, and he slew the brother of Goliath. Now, if you had another version, the word "the brother of" is out of there. It's just got him slaying Goliath. Now, that's how stupid the other version is. They don't even know who it was that killed the giant. Now, back in your text, in the Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that Goliath was a big man. Boy, you talk about a giant of a man, but he was. He was a blasphemous man. He defied the armies of Israel, defied their God, defied them. And fact is, he talked to David like he was nothing but just an old dog, and he disdained him, the Bible said. You'll find out, not only was he a blasphemous, but he was a bully of a man. Boastful, do you know? He was out there. And you know, you can't get rid of somebody like that just in a heartbeat. I'm sure Israel, while they were shut up and they were afraid, some of David's brethren there were in the army there fighting for Saul. And let me say to you that while they were there, thinking maybe we can wait this thing out, and here's old Goliath every day bragging, boastful, and as a result of it, he walks out there and every morning, every evening for 40 days. That's quite a taunting, isn't it? Every day he walked out there and he said, "How about one of you Israelites being a man? Show me a man. Y'all pick a man for yourself and let him come out and fight me. And if he whips me, then we'll be your servants. But if I whip him," there wasn't no ifs, ands, and buts in his mind. But I guarantee you right now is God had something else. Jesse sent David over there, remember, to the battlefront, and he said, I want you to go and I want you to take this parched corn, take these loaves, and I want you to take these cheeses, and I want you to see how your brethren are doing. And when he got there, you'll find out he was on the run there to be able to go and deliver what his daddy had. Jesse had sent David his son, and the Bible says that all the men, verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man fled from him, they were sore afraid. Now, here's old David, buddy. He gets there and begins to witness some of this going on. And he finally asks the brethren, and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And boy, they got to think, we know about you, David. We know you've come to see the battle and you've come out of curiosity. And David said, is there not a cause for it? And this Bible said that whenever he began to stand up, now remember, he's got other brethren that are there. Not all of them are in that army, but there's three or four of them that are there in that army. And boy, they're listening to all of that Goliath of blasphemy and taunt for 40 days every morning, every evening. I got to tell you right now, there'd been some mighty men of valor that were in the army of Israel. Some of them that could, throw a sling at a hair's breadth. Some of them that were giant men that had slain many in their days gone by. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, that Israel had some mighty men of valor. But you know the difference between them and David? David had the touch of God and the power of God upon him. In the lesson that we were looking at, I want you to notice something about that. Here's a man that just dared to believe God. He just believed God. What's lacking in the day and hour we're living in? We just need some men, we just need some women that just believe what God had to say. I'm talking about nothing more, nothing less. Just believe what God's given in Holy Writ. That's what we're losing. In this day we're living in, let me say to you that, if you will, that David was a man that had real faith. I'm talking about God-given faith. Here was a man that, beloved, not only had faith, but it was unfailing faith. Listen to all of his brethren. You ever have all of your kin folks think, well, you're crazy. You're an idiot. You're not going to be able to go out there and be able to stand up against this Goliath, this giant of a man. Why, he'll have you chewed up and spit out before you know it. He had to go against the opposition of all of his family. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson there, he didn't let that bother him not one bit. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find David was a man that had some fight in him. But now he wasn't dependent upon his own skill. He wasn't dependent upon his own power. He wasn't dependent upon his own ability and his own physique, if you will, please. I mean, I don't know if he looked like Hercules and how he was built, but he said he was ruddy. He said that he was a young man. He said that he had a beautiful countenance to look to. In other words, he's just a youngest of eight. He obviously is not Charles Atlas and showed up to be able to fight the giant. The fact is, whenever they went to try to put armor upon him, remember that? It was too big for him. And he said, no, I'm not going to be like this. I ain't proven this. I can't wear this kind of armor and this and that and so forth and on. And so in the lesson that we begin to take up reading, let me say to you, he just believes that God, in the face of adversity, and it didn't matter how much opposition there was, he just believes God and the Bible. And he said, you know, I've already killed a lion, killed a bear by bare hands. Now, that's a pretty good little chore, isn't it? But he gives God the glory. And ain't no young man like himself going to be able to do that unless there's an unusual power, and he has it. He has the touch of God upon him. And let me tell you, the power of God. He's believing and looking all beyond the limitations of humanity and against all the odds. And let me tell you, before Jesus comes again, if you're going to serve God, you better make sure you decide between you and God, that's what I'm going to do. Because let me tell you, the Bible said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? The fewer and fewer they're going to be. They're attacking right now, you know, everything. The woke system, the communist system, the socialist. You know what socialism is? Like Bernie Sanders, socialism is communism, except it's spelled with an S. That's the way it is. They use it under another guise somewhere. You better make your mind up that if you're going to dare to be a David, And you're going to have to be sure that you've got your eye on God, you've got unfailing faith, and against all odds. And the Bible said in the text that we've read is that after all the hoopla and after all the mocking and making fun of by the giant, I wonder, you know, in the day we're living in, I'm just wondering, you know, while the giant's there taunting him and while the giant's trying to intimidate him and all that, I'm just wondering what... If somebody shouldn't have hollered out with a megaphone and said, "You're going to talk him to death or what?" Let me tell you right now, as that Bible said, that we've read about it, that old David, that he had them stones he'd picked up, five smooth stones, and he'd stuck them in his bag, and when he took off running toward Goliath, I will tell you, while he was on the run to him, he didn't even have his sling loaded yet. He sticks his hand in his bag and goes to getting it loaded while he's running toward the enemy. And not only is he running, but he loads it, slings it, and hits him in the forehead. Probably the only place that it could have killed him with one stone and knocked him down. Old Brother Roloff used to say David didn't, he didn't kill him with a spit wad. It was solid rock, friend. I got to say that whenever you look at old David, buddy, and that giant falls down flat. Now, did you remember what he said? He said, "This day the Lord is going to give you into my hand, and you're going to hit the earth, and I'm going to take your head off for you." There's old David, doesn't have nothing but a sling, pocket full of rocks. How's he going to take his head off? He's going to use Goliath's own sword. He falls down flat, and let me tell you something right now, upon the face of this earth, and in verse number 50, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, and with a stone he smote the Philistine, and he slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." Now it's important that you and I see that, and that we know that. He's already boasted he's going to take his head off, but he don't have a sword with him. I'm sure he felt like just as soon as the giant hits the ground, there'll be a sword accessible to me. I'll just use his sword. And in verse 51, "Therefore David ran, stood up on the Philistine." Now look at that. I mean, this is a giant of a man. He goes and stands up on his body, no doubt. And the Bible said there in that passage there, "And took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew it and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled." Now, notice, if you will, that when they started out, Goliath was saying, "Choose you a man," because they done chose their man. Oh, yeah. It's just like, you know, God wants us to be able to realize, no, hey, I want you to look, Philistines, look at your man that you chose. Yeah. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, I remember years ago, you know, at some of these meetings and conferences and this and that and so forth and on, there was a lot of men way back when, and you didn't dare want to question them because they were the big shots of the thing. But I remember John R. Rice. Y'all remember old John R. And John R. Rice, sort of the Lord man, so forth and on. And Jack Hiles and all of them were big buddies together. None of them really believe adamantly about the King James Bible. But there was somebody made John R. mad. He didn't believe in storehouse tithe, and they wanted you to send your tithe to him. So there was a lot of controversy back then. And so one preacher made John R. mad at a conference, and he got up and started leaving. And the guy said something to him as he was leaving. Jack Hiles said, "Hey, you ought not to talk that way against our champion." And the guy looked at Jack Hiles and said, "I thought Jesus Christ was the champion." God bless him, whoever he be. See, that's what's wrong in the day we live in. We've got too much stuck in humanity. And all of our loyalty ought to be unto Christ. Respectability, yeah, that's one thing, but hey, to be able to put back that he's the champion, no, let me tell you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that there he is, laying there dead as a hammer. And now he's been beheaded by his own sword. All the Philistines saw their champions dead and they fled. They took off running. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, of course, all of Israel takes in after it. Now, look in verse 54. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As my soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And has David returned from the slaughter?" Now pay close attention to this. "Of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul." That's the king. "And the head of the Philistine in his hand." You ever notice that? You know what would happen if some of these God-cussing, God-defying, God-denying heathens that we've had to take, you know what they should have done whenever they killed old Saddam Hussein and what Osama bin Laden, you know what they should have done? They should have cut his head off and had somebody holding that head on national television. Yes, right. Put the fear of God in some of these people. Now, I realize and know that in the day we live in, boy, he'd be thrown completely out of town. They'd want to ban him from the United States of America. I mean, there he is. He's got that giant's head. It must have been a pretty heavy head. And so he's got that head by the hair of its head, and he's carrying that thing around. And even after he's pursuing some of those Philistines when they come back, he's going before Saul and walks before the king. He's not got a suitcase. He's got Goliath's head in his hand. I want to say in closing here this morning that if you will, please, is that it makes no difference who you are. It makes no difference how big you are. David was such a man that while he was marching, running toward Goliath, he was trusting God to hit the mark. And God did hit the mark. Somebody said, you know, you think he was that good a shot? There were some people that good of shots. But I got to tell you right now, his old David was not trusting in his own talent, his own wisdom, and his own might. He was trusting God to hit the mark. Yes, yes. What do you think? Why do you think over there in the passage that we read is that in verse 45, we'll read it again. Then said David unto the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield," all of that business there. "But I've come unto thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies, whom thou hast defied." You got all those implements of war? I'm coming in the promise and power and the touch of God. Now, I can tell you what it'll do is it'll revolutionize our lives if you and I could leave here today and we could trust God like David did. If we could just believe God like David did. Well, you don't know how many people are trying to oppose and this and that. Look at David, how many he had opposing him. If we could just believe God like David did. I wonder this morning while we stand to our feet and while our heads are bowed. And as we get ready to leave here, we'll give you a second, we'll give you a moment. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. Do you just don't believe God? What is the problem? If you say, "Preacher, I want to be saved," then slip out from where you are. Come on down forward to this old-fashioned altar, and we'll start singing. Maybe God's tugging at your heart for other reasons, about service, about life, about sin, whatever that it is. We'll give you a moment. You can slip out to an old-fashioned altar, get things altered with God. Now, Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. And, Lord, what a blessing and inspiration it is to each and every one of us when we see unfailing faith that you put inside a young man like David. Help us to believe you, Lord. In a world that does not believe you, help us to believe you. We'll thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.